you like chocolate, Karen?
I'm allergic.
What?
To nuts, yeah.
It's chocolate, though.
Yeah, but it can contain traces of nuts.
What's... Get this on. Press record.
It is recorded.
Right.
It's gold.
Yeah. What... what nuts are in chocolate? Hazelnut, Nutella.
Could be anything. You know, if it's made in the same factory.
So are you that allergic that you can't go anywhere near it? Because we've got some nuts open in the cupboard.
I'm anaphylactic, so I have to have EpiPen.
Shit, so you have to carry that around with you wherever you go?
Well, I should, yeah.
Right.
Have you but got you live life on the bloody edge, don't you?
I don't care.
You don't give a shit.
Where do you inject it?
It's fine.
Oh, okay.
You do it every day?
Every day.
You don't do it every day.
He's not got amnesia. Every morning wakes up with Cocoa Puffs or something. Why, how
do you call them Cocoa Puffs?
Pops.
Pops.
You called them Puffs.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of Rice Krispies.
This is the Mandela effect again.
Right. I thought it was Cocoa Puffs.
I'd rather have a bowl of Cocoa Pops.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, okay, that's me.
We should introduce.
Yeah, okay. Let's do an introduction. Go on.
Welcome to...
Hello, everybody. Hi, everybody. Yeah. What you've just listened to...
Well, we might start with that, so...
Well, we should. I think we should.
Well...
Because it's all getting a bit formal. Here's my feedback.
Okay.
And I don't care what anyone else thinks. It's all getting a bit formal, this.
Okay.
Let's eat some crisps.
Keep it loose.
Yeah.
Right.
Have some fun.
Thanks.
Right, okay. You finish then.
It's good.
Go on. Do an intro.
This...
No, just hello. Hello. Yeah.
Welcome.
Yeah.
To the Paul McKenna. And Jimmy Donny Cosgrove with Joe Parham Podcast. I'm Jimmy Donny Cosgrove.
We haven't done this before.
Okay.
I'm Joe Parham.
And I'm Paul McKenna.
And you are?
Karan Sharma.
Karan Sharma.
And so, Karan, what is your specialist subject tonight?
Oh, yeah.
Chemistry would be the special subject if I was going to do one.
Okay. Yep. And specifically anything?
Anything in chemistry.
Okay. big subject. But isn't it, you're working in the COVID test centres?
Well, I'm working in the COVID lab in Royal Berkshire Hospital.
Okay, now that's exciting for me. So your specialist subject today is?
COVID.
Yes!
Let's go from the beginning then. What were you doing before COVID?
Working at Glaxo.
GlaxoSmithKline. Doing what there?
Research and development.
On drugs?
Cancer drugs.
Okay.
Did you find one?
Yeah, I did actually. I was working on one.
It's a
pipeline drug for endometriosis and risks to cervical cancer.
Yeah, I thought, yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
So it's a drug combating specifically cervical cancer, is it? Is that what cancer drugs do? It's specific cancers. You don't try and find a drug.
Well, we try and find one that works best for that specific cancer while it could cause damage elsewhere. We try and do damage limitation, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's the drug aiming to do? Is it aiming to reduce, like, once you already have it? Is it a preventative thing?
So there was a correlation between endometriosis and cervical cancer. So they're trying to work on reducing that risk.
So what's the system when you're working for, like, in a pharmaceutical company? Like, what's the R&D?
So you get given a case file, so research from other institutes, universities, other companies, and you look at their data and see where you can improve on it, looked at what drugs they've used and where you can improve on it. It's very complicated. So I was only in the side where I developed the drug.
Right.
So they'll say we want something that causes damage to this but not to this. So we develop drugs that would kind of work, and then they go ahead and test it on, like, tissue samples and,
So how would you come up with the, like, chemical composition of this
drug? How do you
experiments.
What's the recipe, then? Is that what it is, a recipe?
Essentially, yeah.
So you'll go, right, a bit of paracetamol, because that always works. Double bit of that in.
Barocco.
Not really. I mean, you try and have just one chemical in there, if possible, and then you have buffers around it.
What chemical would you put in there?
Depends on what you're going to do.
I want to stop cancer in my cervix.
Then if you can find that, that'd be great. There's no answer to that yet. You know, these are all being experimented on scene. So a lot of these drugs will be in clinical trials now. Because I left there about 18 months ago now.
And the whole place has gone to shit.
Well, it's actually been really successful now, so maybe the opposite.
Sorry, this is probably a really stupid question, but what form are these chemicals in where you're like, all right, okay, maybe I'll try this one, and then you...
Is it like a touchscreen, like in KFC?
You do a simulation. Well... Like, it can be, you know.
Yeah.
But so will it be like a cancerous cell in a petri dish or whatever that you're trying to...
We don't do that.
Right.
So people in clinical trials will do that. So they'll literally get a living tissue and inject it or put, literally pour it on or put it in a solution and put it on, see what happens.
So what do your experiments look like?
So we make the drug. So we'll, they'll say, we want this to do this. And we'll try and formulate a drug that can do all of that in one go.
But how do you know it will... do you know it will do that?
So looking at databases to see, say, for example... different parts of your digestive system. So your stomach's acidic. So you want something that will get past acidity. Then you want to get something that will get past bile, which is very basic. So you want something very, very neutral, like...
Is this to aim it to the point of the wound? So you need to get past the first thing.
So when there's things, for example, that don't get there directly, you need to inject it in there instead.
Right.
So like you have insulin. If you were to ingest that, it just wouldn't work because it'd die in the stomach.
So you're doing all of this theoretically at this point then, are you?
Yeah, and then we go ahead and try and make it.
Okay.
It's really, really complicated. I mean, for example, say we want to make one drug that will get there. It takes months and months and trial and error to see if we can get to that place in one piece.
And how long will it take for them to come back to you and be like, that recipe you gave us, it's shit.
Yeah, it tastes horrible.
About 6 to 8 weeks.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's
so that's where we make loads and loads.
Okay. So you're just trying all sorts of different things.
So why haven't they found a cure for cancer yet?
In my honest opinion, I think there is. Genuinely.
It's a conspiracy.
Genuinely, I think there is. I mean, it's in their, well, in pharmaceutical companies' interest not to disclose that.
You're kidding me.
There we go.
Genuine opinion.
I've heard that about AIDS.
Yeah. There probably is, you know, but again.
Yeah.
Whoa. Hang on.
Because look how quickly they made the vaccine for this. For the thing.
I feel like you're wandering down conspiracy theories when Curran might actually know what he's talking about.
Right, so okay. So
you're
suggesting you want to hear more from our guests. No worries? Okay.
No, I genuinely think there is possibly out there a cure, a good chance.
And you're basing that off of just...
Stuff I've seen. You know, like what? There's like mass amounts of data that we can't access or use. And they say that's owned by this company. We can't use that. It's owned by the US government. We can't use that.
Sorry, what's
there's certain chemicals that we can't use.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not
because they're patented, aren't they? So we can't touch them.
They're patented.
But you know which companies own
it. We can see who owns it.
And is it normally like CIA?
No. It's normally US government or the FDA.
And is it chemicals which are owned sort of by different companies which you think brought together could...
Possibly,
or is it? You reckon there is a cure in one place that's not being released?
For example, so there's like names of drugs that we're not allowed to see the structure of.
Nurofen.
There's drugs like cisplatin, which was a well-known drug that could have been used to cure certain cancers, but just doesn't work. But there's like modifications which aren't allowed to be used. But again, we don't know why. It's because they're just owned by other companies.
So which bit of the process did you enjoy the most? Coming up with the idea or then trying to create that chemical that you've come up with?
Testing the chemical is actually really... and synthesising it. So we get to put it in these super expensive £1 million machines and see what happens.
Well, let's say you've come up with this chemical that's never been created before then by any other human being. Then how do you go about making it?
So if you can work it out chemically to do it in a lab, you can do it that way. Or there's a NMR machine that can make it for you. But again, that can take a lot of trial and error if you don't know how to make it. But normally you can work out the chemistry quite easily.
I could work out the chemistry quite easily, could I?
You read a book, you could, yeah?
Yeah, no, that's where you lost me.
So close.
Yeah.
What was Jimmy, chemistry at school? Take just a potted history of your...
See, I don't know the difference between chemistry and biology.
Chemistry? Didn't even say chemistry.
You do, Jim, you do.
Not really, though. No, not in terms of what I learnt. What lessons was it? Was it Mr. Loveridge or was it Miss Barrett?
Well, which one taught chemistry?
Which had the... What, is it the Bunsen burners? Is that chemistry?
That is, yeah.
That was Mr. Loveridge.
What do you remember of chemistry?
He threw me out once because...
No, not Mr.
Loveridge.
The actual subject.
Photosynthesis?
Biology.
What did he throw you out? What did he throw you out for? Trying to talk about photosynthesis.
Simon Willard had got Emily Buckwell pregnant.
And he blamed it on you.
And apparently it was all my fault. No, I was just skipping around the fucking classroom going, Simon's pregnant, Emily. Like being stupid, and then he kicked me out. But he was a very nice man.
Did they keep the baby?
Yeah, they're married. They're married now, and they've got four kids.
Wow.
Yeah, they're still together.
That good was, for them.
Yeah, they're lovely couple. What was the question?
Chemistry.
Yeah, I don't know.
What else do you remember? The periodic table, anything like that?
Right. Okay, Mendeley. That's chemistry.
Yeah.
Periodic table.
Yeah.
Potassium, peronium, pernelium, palladium.
There was a beer in there, but yeah.
One of them. Silver.
Any other elements? Let's just keep this.
How many elements?
How many
copper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chemical elements? Symbol.
It's G-A-G-C-C-U. That's it. I'm out. Give me something else.
Have you seen Breaking Bad, Jim?
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That's chemistry.
Yeah, but yeah, yo. That's chemistry, yo. Magnets. But I didn't learn anything about chemistry watching it, did I? Just some bald bloke throwing a fucking...
Oh, he does teach you how to make it, to be fair, in the show. Literally teaches you.
Really? So you see enough to know how to do it?
Really? I think he skips one or two sets, but he literally teaches you how to make it.
Really?
It's crazy.
What, and have you ever tried?
No.
But you talk
about... my teacher has.
Is it?
Because yeah, this podcast is where he'd choose to divulge the information that he's currently making meth at
home. So could you make it?
Yeah, I mean...
Could you make it as pure as he could?
Honestly, if you pick up the right recipe, book, you can make it.
Could you make it as pure as Walter Wright?
Walter White.
Walter Wright.
But if you think, bear in mind, he's doing the back of an RV. Do you know what I mean?
Very different show.
Yeah, but it is a TV show. Yeah. You know, Mary Poppins isn't real.
Of course.
I can't remember the question again.
Did you love chemistry from a young age then?
I did. Well, actually, no. I hated it until 15, until my teacher told me I was going to fail it.
Oh, right.
And then it kind of motivated me to do work hard.
What was the first point that you were like, oh, actually, this is quite interesting, and it became a thing?
At parents' evening. So when she said, I think you should drop it for GCSE.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. And that gave you the drive to go against the teachers.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that would have had the total opposite for me. Really? I'd have gone, yeah, let's get rid of it.
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah. I've been thinking the same since probably about 1996.
So what point did you start thinking, I want to do this for a career?
When I was about 17, I thought, you know, I'm really enjoying this. Now I'm a bit more motivated.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I went to uni to do it, and then I did chemical research as my master's.
Wow.
How do you enjoy it? Like, what's enjoyable about it?
The unknown. Do you know what I mean? Like, any reaction can mean anything.
Yeah. Karen, that is absolutely not for me, the unknown.
No?
I don't like it at all. I don't like space. I don't like the Bible. I don't like anything like that.
The Bible.
Unknown.
Totally unknown, the Bible.
Yeah.
But it must be completely thrilling that you could, you know, create some kind of compound or whatever
even if it's accidentally. Yeah.
Where did you say kill human beings, did you say?
Kill cancer.
Oh, kill cancer. Okay, I thought it was kind of extreme.
Have you ever Have you ever stumbled across anything that you were genuinely like, this is brand new?
I just have a quick question before that, because how do you stumble across, like, how would you stumble accidentally across something that could kill the human race? How'd you go, oh, fucking hell, I better put that in the bin? Like, how do you accidentally do that? And how do you know when you've accidentally make it that could do that?
Well, for example, like Marie Curie, she accidentally discovered, you know, uranium, polonium. She didn't realise it was killing her until later in life. Do you know what I mean?
No.
Can't be clearer than that.
Yeah.
Uranium and polonium.
Plutonium.
And radium.
And she was using that to do what?
I have no idea. She was working with her husband, and they accidentally discovered X-rays doing that. They discovered radiation. Their work lead to making the 235 purified uranium that was used in nuclear bombs. So.
But it was slowly killing her over many years while she was experimenting.
Well,
you can go into
her office, and it's entirely toxic to you because of how much radiation is in there.
And she then put her name to a cancer?
No.
No. Is that not her?
Marie Curie.
It's the same name. But
it's a charity, I think, named after her.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah. She was a scientist.
Okay, so a bit like when Newton discovered gravity.
Yeah.
He didn't really discover it. It was always there.
It was always there, yeah.
But yours is different because you're making stuff, you're putting stuff together to make something.
Yeah, but that could already exist somewhere. Do you know what I mean?
No.
It's like
you're creating something which might already exist. We just haven't found it yet.
If you could do me a favour and not say, do you know what I mean, at the end of everything, because I almost definitely won't. So sorry to interrupt you guys, I didn't mean to get annoyed, but I genuinely was like, I don't understand how you could do that. But Karen, you've described it well.
Well, just as before we get back to that sign thing, just off what you just said, do you think that anything that we can make probably does exist somewhere?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
So it's not, you don't think it's possible to come up with something like, by definition, if we can make it.
Oh, yeah,
it
like
must
super
exist.
Complicated compounds, and yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So what was my question for Jimmy?
But even some of the elements on the periodic table aren't naturally occurring.
No, but again, like with the Big Bang, they must have been made at some point. Do you know what I mean? Like,
but do you think, the Big Bang, yeah.
That's mad, isn't it, as well? Yeah. Do you think that's real?
Yeah, for sure.
Are you religious?
I am semi-religious, but it doesn't change the fact that science is science.
Yeah, so you don't believe that a God made the Earth and the thing, you believe in the Big Bang?
It's an interesting question, that. Like,
thank you.
For me, it's...
No one's ever said that.
I don't know. There's a lot that's come out of it that makes me question, like, could it all be natural? I mean, it's like a one in a billion, you know, however far you want to go. But...
I do. I think that is very true, and like a lot of scientists do that, don't they? Where you first get onto a path of science, and you're like, "Oh, actually, we can explain a huge amount through science, and maybe religion isn't this thing." And then you get to a point where you go, "Actually, this is so complex, yeah. And there's still so many questions." Exactly. Do you think maybe there is something?
That's what I think. I think if I'd start believing in God more if I started to look into space.
Well, it's crazy how amino acids, water, this that come together to make something that's sentient. Do you know what I mean? It's
unbelievable. It's
what's
still
sentient?
Like conscious.
You wouldn't know.
Like conscious, like a human being or something like it.
Water came together to do that.
It's part of it.
But if you took you apart, you are just amino acids and compounds and then, you know, atoms and quarks and all these sort of things.
Yeah.
And waves. You're just like
I'm
wave
just
functions.
All of that. I'm all that. Put that all together.
And
I'm
a wig. All of that and a wig. That's basically what
you've got. Karen, you said you're semi-religious. Were you more religious and then you started doing this science, or...?
There's no difference in the madness between the Big Bang and God making it. Like, they're both as bad as each other.
Well, there's nothing to say that God is the right answer either. Do you get what I mean?
Maybe he was a scientist.
Perhaps.
Maybe God was the first scientist. And he went, and he accidentally made Earth by doing exactly what you did the other day, whatever you were doing. And you accidentally made something, and he went, fucking hell, what have I done?
Yeah. Jim, would you go to space?
I've got no real need to go up there. What would I find?
Your spine stretches out, so you'd go from 5'5" to 5'6".
5'6", 5'6" and a half.
That's interesting. But where do you? Can you sleep? Where do you sleep?
What do you mean where?
It depends what you go up there on.
Is it always light though? It's always bright because of the sun?
No.
Is there any darkness? Because
It depends. Like, if you're on the other side of the Earth, there's no light.
Yeah, but you can't just run around that the whole time.
Well, the International Space Station goes around the Earth.
Am I on that?
You could be.
Is there anywhere else up there?
How would you know which way's up when you're there
there's
as
no
well, Jim?
Would
I know?
I mean, even with Earth now,
I think you're taking the piss. But would I know that I was upside down?
Yeah, the blood will go to your head.
Yeah.
So your wig will fall off.
No, hang on. How do I know then? How would I not? If I'm asleep and I'm upside down, then I wake up and I'm like, fucking hell. And I was like, oh yeah, I'm in space. Yeah,
I think your body just loses all concept of up and down by that point.
Yeah. So you don't know you're that up and down.
No, there's no.
You're just floating. Like, it's
where are you sleeping though?
Have we just launched you in one spacesuit out of Earth, or are you in a spaceship?
You're in
you're
in a ship.
Yeah, but you're in a ship. But I don't think
you want us to design.
It takes a few hours to get up there. It's like going to like Edinburgh. It doesn't take long.
You want us to design the ship for you?
No, I just want you to know. I just want to know where I'm going. Okay, am I sleeping?
You're in a nice cabin. With a, it's not a king size bed, it's a double bed, but it's a small double.
So there is a bed. I've got a mattress.
Queen size bed.
Queen size bed. Yeah. You're in a queen.
Yeah. You bought your own pillow with you.
Yeah.
I've got a good pillow. Yeah. So hang on. So the mattress, do take a mattress up there.
Yeah. Memory foam.
Yeah. Yeah. I think NASA are pulling their hair out at this point. Yeah. Just how much they bedside how
table.
Much fuel they've put towards your mattress. But, yeah.
Bedside table, three drawers, very convenient. Bottom drawer, slightly bigger than the other two.
Alarm clock.
So I just want to know where I'm sleeping
in that bed.
Bed.
You can't, if I'm on the bed, I'm just floating around.
You're like tied to the bed,
right? So thank you. You're
tied
me
to the bed the entire journey.
Yeah, yeah, you're trapped.
No, it's like being in Soho.
It's like one flew of the cookies.
Yeah. So
Would you go to space?
Not interested. Okay. No, but thank you.
What freaks you out the most about space? Just the size of it.
Even you saying that makes my hands feel funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy how once you're actually there, there's no end to what you can see.
Yeah, that's
mad. It just goes forever.
I don't think
it can.
You
can see literally forever.
I don't, because nobody's proved that you can't. And why can't I go to Venus?
There's even some people that think if you stared in one direction, if you went that way completely, you'd come back on yourself eventually. If you went in a straight line for long enough, you'd eventually come back round to Earth from the other direction.
Is that because they think it's circular in some way?
Well, yeah, there are certain like theories that that could potentially be the case. Like
the thing is with space, I don't like. Oh fuck! You know, we were talking the other week about Nelson Mandela effect.
Just call Mandela effect, but yeah.
Yeah, the Mandela effect.
The full name, please.
Did you know the Dan Mandela effect?
It's formal.
Did you know that in Star Wars, he never said "Beam me up, Spoy"? He never said it.
Right,
right.
Star Trek.
Yeah, sorry.
And it's not "Beam me up, Spotty."
Scotty.
They still never said it.
It's the Skins version.
Do you think these vaccines are safe? Would you take the COVID vaccine?
I've taken the vaccine.
You've taken it, okay.
Which one?
AstraZeneca.
Okay. How come you took AstraZeneca?
Didn't have a choice. I turned up, they said you have to take this one, so I took it.
Did you not say, listen, you know who I am? As you're rolling your sleeve up.
No.
It was quick, wasn't it?
It was quick.
I had mine last week.
Did you have it?
Yeah.
I felt like crap afterwards, though.
Did you? Yeah.
For how long?
2 days.
Is that...
But then it was all of a sudden fine.
See, I was vying for a day off. The next day, I thought if I get on the Monday, I might be ill enough to have not fall in sick on the Tuesday, and I woke up absolutely fine.
Yeah, so that day I was fine. Next day after I was fine. The day after I was horrendous.
What, you had the flu?
No, it was hot then cold, then feeling sick, fine, hot then cold.
But you're also, Jim, you're an older generation, and it affects younger people differently.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, you were in the first wave, weren't you? protect the vulnerable, save lives.
So, you work in a COVID lab now.
I do, yeah.
By choice, or was it just you had to?
By choice, yeah. They were looking for scientists to work in there, and I thought, why not?
So, take us from day one. This was May that you started working there.
Yeah.
So May, you answered the call heroically, may I add.
Yeah, well done.
Because also at that point, I guess you still don't really know what...
Well, I was supposed to be travelling at that time.
Really?
Where to?
Around Europe, around Asia. Didn't know, I wanted to go somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were planning to sort of leave your job anyway?
Yeah.
Okay.
At this point, how much did they know about
this? It was more like the level of testing was quite low right at the start.
Right.
So, you know, everyone's in sort of unfamiliar territory, you know. We're just doing what we can, doing PCR testing.
PCR?
PCR.
What's that?
Polymerase chain reaction.
Of course.
Yeah. So that's the test you get if you go to, a test centre.
Oh, okay.
That's, the proper one that they send off and stuff.
Right, okay. So that's different from the ones where you go in and swab your own anus and stuff.
Anus.
No. You didn't have to do that.
You didn't have to do that one.
I'm sure it's a COVID test centre.
Yeah. Wonder why there was no roof on this GP surgery.
There's an old man wanking, so put it in there.
So the technology was already there
to do the test
when you arrived?
I think PCR was established in the 80s, late 80s, and it's been used for years, but not on the scale it is now. It's huge now at the minute.
So were you guys trying to refine, basically, how to make the test and the results more reliable, or were you just getting through volume,
It's volumes, but PCR, I'd say, is probably the most effective and accurate. Yeah, because it actually uses the genetic material. Whereas a lot of the, for example, you know, the ones that you get, the test at home ones that aren't PCR, I think they're only 80% effective, and they rely on the genetic material being identical to what they have on file.
Right.
Yeah.
So you already had to have the virus sequenced or whatever to know whether...
Yeah, to do PCR you need it sequenced, yeah.
And you were confident that you had it completely correct.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, correct me, I'm not 100% certain how often they update it, but so, for example, there's a new strain. they'll
is that
add
the Indian
system.
One now we're talking
so
about.
There's so the Indian one, there's the Kent one, South African,
right.
Brazilian.
So each one they update and then
they add on to systems. So it will still test the very original as well as these. But okay. Again, I don't know if every lab does that.
But your lab at the minute, when you're doing it through it, it will test at,
for all of them.
How many variants are you testing for at the minute then with each one?
5, 6 maybe. Oh, okay, yeah, but again, we don't know how many are out there. These are the only ones that we've identified.
Right.
But there could be
so
many.
So if it's
many
a variant that you haven't identified yet, even if it might be coronavirus, you wouldn't pick it up.
It
wouldn't come
through.
Up.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. But sometimes it will get caught, and that's how you find a new variant.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you? Could you take the virus, put it in one of them little pots that you've got, put it underneath a microscope, and go, oh yeah, that's COVID.
It's way too small virus. The viruses aren't like cellular.
It's not like sperm.
No. Complete different.
Yeah, well, okay, yeah. I think that's that. The homeless man's been lying to you.
Yeah, that's the vaccine.
Just need to have a look. I forgot my microscope. It's fine. I'll just use the naked eye.
Yeah, I mean, very, very different. Very different.
But how would you... when you talk about finding a new strain or something that you might still pick it up, how would it pick it up if it's not been sequenced?
That's hard to tell because we're only looking for maybe 5 or 6 markers.
Right.
So earlier in the process, we'll attach, as if it were binding sites, attach like extensions onto them.
Okay.
And only those will be visible. But if it hasn't got a binding site, then it won't attach. And so it'll show on the machine, oh, we found this one, but not this one. And that's how you could possibly find a variant.
Right, okay.
But in saying the variant, it hasn't got any of the 5 that we're looking for. It'll slip through.
Right. With all your chemistry knowledge, if I needed you to kill a man, and I wanted to get away with it, how are we doing it?
Is it that ricin stuff from Breaking Bad?
Yeah, it's sort of castor beans, isn't it? It's relatively untraceable. You can make it from castor beans, isn't it? You've got to boil them to extract it out.
So I want Cosgrove dead, let's say.
Mm.
Your career would be fucked without me.
You're the reason I've got no career.
Even fucked it is that.
So how are we doing it? Am I putting him in like a bath and we're putting acid, hydrochloric acid or something?
I think if you just put a potassium chloride drip on someone for long enough, they die.
So what's that?
It's just salt, potassium salt.
What, just like a drip into his arm?
Yeah.
And eventually he'd die from that?
The potassium overdose.
Would he fall asleep?
And it wouldn't show up on an autopsy?
Why wouldn't it show up on autopsy?
Yeah, what?
Because potassium, your body has potassium in naturally. So just say it's slightly too much, but it won't, like, the threshold for death from potassium isn't that high. So if you have too much potassium, you could die. Like from bananas, not that much in there.
How many bananas would I have to eat to die?
Thousands.
Oh, okay.
I think I read something like 6,400 you have to eat in an hour.
Right. Yeah. The bloke who did that had a stinker. Yeah.
So hang on, how would it actually kill? How would you die of that potassium
overdose? It'd just stop your nervous system working.
So you just...
Just die.
And then we'd cover up the hole in his arm from the drip.
There was a whole story about it. If you just put like a needle under someone's nail, because they don't look under nails in autopsies.
You're starting to worry me a bit now. You've really thought about this. Go on.
I've read it somewhere. Sure. And it goes straight into...
I read it in my diary. Under his nail. Nobody checks there.
No one checks there.
You can get a drip in under his nail with a needle.
Just a needle. I'm not saying, like, between your nail bed and your nail, but, like, poke a hole through there. Or the tip of your finger.
Why do they never check under nails in an autopsy?
What would be the need?
Well, in films and stuff, it's always like dirt under the nails in plants.
But that's if there's a reason to think there's a crime.
Okay.
Oh.
So in the case of us killing Jimmy...
Yeah, they could think it's a natural death.
There'd be lots of reasons for the crime.
Yeah. I'll just cover a bit of cocaine on his body or something.
Calcium chloride.
It would be like...
I'll just leave the cocaine on his body.
Pockets are full of the stuff.
Yeah, it's the cleanest way and it'd be basically untraceable to you.
And how would he look? He'd just look exactly the same?
Look exactly the same.
This is the perfect crime. If only he hadn't heard it and I hadn't publicised on the podcast.
What's it called? Potassium chloride?
Yeah, okay. Just potassium chloride solution.
What does it? What form does it come in?
Liquid. Just
in a liquid?
Yeah.
Can you just buy it?
Yeah.
Why am I getting a drip? Surely you're going to go...
Kill you slowly.
But surely I'm going to go, well, what are you doing, Paul?
Yeah, you're not conscious at this point.
Oh, no, okay.
Yeah.
All right, I'll
just... They could tie you up. Do you know what I mean?
Well, you're tied to a bed in a space station.
And they leave you...
We're in space.
And just leave you.
You're tied to your queen.
I'm overdosed on potassium.
And the thing is, there's no recovery from that.
Do you die peacefully?
Or do you die by going, like, I think I'm thirsty?
I think your heart just starts pumping all of a sudden.
Well, Jim's had a bit of heart stuff recently.
A bit of heart stuff recently.
So even less likely to question it.
Yeah.
What would be in your will? Have you got a will, Jim?
No. With what? Yeah. What have I got? You can have a PlayStation.
Well,
but you can have my wig and my PlayStation.
Yeah, but you've got to make a will for him to get those things. So you should.
Right, no, this is my last will and testament. If I die from potassium overload, Paul can have Paul can have my PlayStation and my wig.
Why does he get both of them? Can I get one of them?
You can have the wig then.
Well, no, I'll have the PlayStation.
All right, you can have the PlayStation. You can have the wig. What do you want, Cohen?
I'm all right. I'm not complicit in this. So.
Oh yeah, good point.
Well, what else have you got, Jim?
I've got my Mac.
Yeah. I'll take that.
No, that's good. I'll tell you what, you don't.
Who's that going to?
That's going straight in the bin. That's going to be burnt. That's either going one of two places. One, straight into the evidence room.
Yeah.
Or two, straight in the skip.
Have you ever done forensic chemistry then?
Yeah, did that at uni. It's really interesting. It's like profiling like fingerprints, bodily fluids.
For crime scenes. And...
crime scenes. But we didn't, not to the level of crime scenes. We were doing more so like, if we'd been given a sample of this, how would we compare it to this, that sort of thing.
So if Jimmy did leave you his laptop in his will, you'd be able to analyse the fluids.
You
wouldn't need DNA. You'd need a fucking chisel.
I was going to say, is your hair actually your hair? Is that a human hair?
That's a great point. If someone's wearing a wig and like hair gets found at the murder scene, and
yes,
yeah. It wouldn't be mine.
Unless it was from your sideburns, that is your hair.
Yeah, this is my hair. That's not my hair. This bit is the hair of thousands of Koreans.
definitely not Koreans.
No, it is.
Really?
Yeah.
Do they dye it?
Yeah, they dye it. Yeah.
Right.
I've
never seen that in like a murder mystery where they find the hair DNA and it's, then they go, oh no, it's from a wig.
It's this Korean guy.
Yeah.
It's the perfect crime.
It really is.
1,000 Korean guys were here doing this.
Smartest thing would be to leave the hair.
Yeah. Fuck me, there was a lot of Koreans in this flat.
Jesus Christ.
That's about the thousand
Is that, do you know if that comes from one person?
I don't know, my darling, no. I'm just grateful. Karen,
Karen.
I've actually enjoyed this.
Yeah?
You talked very cleverly, but at a level that I understood, and I appreciated that. Thank you. But we've reached the end.
Sometimes.
Jim, what have you learned?
Oh, no, because Paul's always like, no, don't say that, because I might not be in the edit.
Well, let's see how we get on. Just what have you learned?
Okay, if this made it through to the edit... I've learned that in space, you get tied to a mattress.
Voluntarily, I'm
sure. Yeah, the nuclear power plants are good because they live it and you bury it underground. And if you walked
completely at the opposite
straight thing. In one line around the Earth, you'd get back to the same point. Karen, thank you.
Again, said his name wrong, but thank you. Thank you, Karen.
Karen, thank you.